Happy Father's Day to all of you that are dads again. It's always hard for me. My father, for some of you know, my father's in Brighton in an Alzheimer's home. And so we're going to visit him today. And of course, he's not going to know who I am and all that. So those of you that are having like a hard time with Father's Day, I'm with you there. And I just pray that we can all focus on our Heavenly Father who never fails us, who is good all the time, who loves us and cares for us, whose love never ends, his mercies never come to an end, who's worthy of our praise, who is indescribable, and yet we try to describe him. And he's the one that we're here today to worship and to celebrate and to honor. But I do want to honor and celebrate another person today, and he actually happens to be a dad, but that's not why we're celebrating him. Bob Neamy has served us faithfully this past year as one of our elders, and our elders serve one-year terms. They're renewable in one sense or another, and in Bob's case, he asked to limit his term to his 1 year, and he's done an absolutely magnificent job of serving our church. And if we can just have all the elders that are here just stand up for a second, because I think it's important for all of you to know who the elders are. We have some that are out of town. But Bob, you can stand up too, I guess. You look a little... Bob's definitely a dad, a big-time dad. So can you just come on up? Bob, you guys can sit down for just there. We are so grateful for your service, and publicly just want to say thank you for serving as an elder. We have two gifts for you. One is called The Faith of Leap, Embracing a Theology of Risk, Adventure, and Courage, and we felt like that definitely fits you. That's a brand new book by Michael Frost, and this one, I'm actually going to open this up because I think it's important to, just so that we can see. We just felt like this is you. This says, Real Men Love Jesus and Bacon. So there you go. Thank you so much. Well, I just want to read you a scripture in preparation for the grade 3 at this time. And for the rest of you that probably want to go back, just want to say again, good morning. We are in week 3 of a series on the Holy Spirit. And I see a lot of faces, new faces today. Especially want to welcome you if you're new or if you're just visiting your father or something this weekend. It's just great to see everybody here. I'm at this very moment, I'm just so in awe of God. I don't know if the music earlier just did for you what it did for me, but just the lyrics of some of those songs. Great is thy faithfulness, and you are good. And I'm very excited. In fact, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And last week I said it would be my absolute dream as a pastor here at Sile Community Church, for us to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we would be telling God stories all the time about how God worked in and through our lives to do supernatural things. Absolutely supernatural things. Because when I read the Bible, I see supernatural things. I see God manifesting His presence in ways that change people's lives. We see that the sick are healed and the blind are given sight and that the lame can walk and even the dead are raised. And so many unbelievable things taking place in the New Testament. Things that, quite honestly, I don't see happening a lot. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God wants to fill us with His presence. I read one statistic this past week that said probably 95% of followers of Jesus are simply not filled with the Spirit. And so what I'd like us to do, if we can, is just take a moment and would you just bow your head right where you're at? And what I would invite you to do is just pause for a moment. We talked about this last week, spiritual breathing, to just pause for a moment and confess any unconfessed sin. Just get right with God right now. Think about maybe the past week and whatever junk, whatever sin is in your life. Would you just exhale that? And then just a simple prayer of inviting the Holy Spirit just to come and fill you right now. Come, Holy Spirit, fall in this place. We need more and more of you. Holy Spirit, I pray now that you would just lead and guide my words in our time together. That you would be glorified and you would increase. May the words in my mouth and the meditations in my heart please you, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about what are spiritual gifts, how are they used, and earlier I mentioned the Q&A thing. I don't know, Carl, did we get any cards? Can you check to see if we got any questions? Because if we had some questions, we can do that. And then at the end, I want to leave some space for your questions. Spiritual gifts, there's a lot of mystery, a lot of intrigue, a lot of misunderstanding about what spiritual gifts are. So I realize for some of you, this is like a new and different experience because you're told never to talk in church. But I'm giving you freedom and permission to talk in church today. And at the end, if you have questions, any kind of question about spiritual gifts, I'm going to do my best. You can put me on the spot and do my best to try and answer it for you. But we're talking about spiritual gifts. This is week 3 in the Holy Spirit. In week 1, we talked about who the Spirit is. And we said the Holy Spirit is not a ghost. It's not a force. It's not a Star Wars thing. The Holy Spirit is a person, one of three persons in the Trinity. Don't have time or the ability to explain the Trinity fully, but in the mystery of God, God exists, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And if 95% of followers of Jesus, as the one statistic shows, are not filled with the Spirit, then we're living lives just like everybody else. And if you look statistically, at least in our culture, it was what's happening, the divorce rate, the drug abuse rate, the porn rate, I mean, every sort of sin and calamity is almost identical for people inside the church as for people outside of the church, which tells me that we are not being filled with the Spirit. We are not living lives empowered as Jesus Christ was. And Jesus said that you will do things even greater than you saw me do. Jesus got his power not because he was God. He actually surrendered his God powers and sought out the Holy Spirit in the same way that we are to. So the stuff that we saw Jesus do, it wasn't because, well, he was just super cool God dude. It's because he was spending so much time in prayer, in the study of the Word, seeking out the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was filled with the Spirit. And let me repeat again, I hope that our church and we as a community can be so alive with the Holy Spirit that our lives look different. Not weird different, not like goofy different. But the people are just drawn. They're saying, wow, you have so much love and so much joy and peace. And how can you deal with these situations? And you just have something so attractive. And that the power of Jesus would flow through our lives. Well, the root Greek word for spiritual gifts that we're looking at, it looks like this, for some of you who know Greek. It's charisma, and one of the definitions is a gracious gift. And that the Holy Spirit gives gifts. So let's begin. There's several passages in the Bible that talk about spiritual gifts. The most notorious is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." I think there's a lot of people in our culture and in our church today that are ignorant about what spiritual gifts are. And this guy, Paul, he writes to a church in a city of Corinth, and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Do we have any idols in our culture today? A whole bunch, don't we? I remember listening to a pastor, and he's talking about this trip he made to India. And he was talking to this woman, and she said, well, I've been to the U.S., and man, you guys have a lot of idols. And he kind of looked at her like, now hang on a second, we're here in India, and you guys have temples, and there's all these cows, and all this stuff. I mean, you guys worship all these things. Like, how in the world can you tell me that we have idols in the U.S.? And she said, oh, I drove by these huge buildings with all these signs that listed all these stores and stuff, and people would just mesmerize, would flock to these big idols, these temples of consumeristic worship. And then I drove around to these big cities and I saw these massive structures designed where people worship these athletes that hit balls and throw balls and do all these sorts of things. And you know, she was just describing all the idolatry, all these idols that we have in our culture. And it was really quite an eye-opening experience because obviously we don't intentionally worship these things in the way that we think about other gods, but anything that takes our attention and desire away from God, anything that we value more than our relationship with God, is an idol. So some things really don't change much in 2,000 years. So Paul continues, "Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." So he's instructing them about spiritual gifts. He makes it clear that spiritual gifts are all about revealing the lordship of Jesus as God over all things and people. If someone calls themselves a Christian, but they don't call Jesus Lord, they don't have the Holy Spirit. Love and submission to Jesus are the primary evidence that someone has the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Love and submission to Jesus are the primary evidence of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. Continues, "There are different types of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men." I love this. These verses, they reflect the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And they also show the unity and the diversity of God. We're all different, aren't we? Look around the room. Look at the person next to you. Any of you see someone exactly like you? I mean, we're all different. And I love that. I love the diversity. I even love the diversity at SIA. We have older people and younger people and people from different ethnicities and people from other parts of the world. And we have people that really, really love dogs and people that really love cats. Unfortunately. And we've got, all cat lovers hate me now. We've got people that love sports and people that can't stand sports. And God is just, He's created us all different. And not just physically and not just externally, but spiritually, He gives gifts to different types of people. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. I lost my place. There's a lot of stuff up there. By that one Spirit, thank you. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different types of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives to each one just as He determines. Whew. So what's the point? Well, several gifts that are distributed by God in order to build up the church and glorify Jesus. And you can see here just the list of the different types of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to different people. Now, Paul then goes into a whole lengthy thing on the body, and we're not going to take time to go through it. But suffice it to say that this body, it talks about the uniqueness of each part and the importance of each part. Every single part of the body is important and special. Correct? It doesn't matter if someone cuts off your big toe, you would probably notice, right? If you bust your elbow, yesterday I was working, I scraped my arm. Like, it doesn't matter what part of your body gets hurt or injured or lost, the rest of your body knows it. That's the way God's designed it. And we're all different parts of the body and we all need each other. I highly encourage you, if you're unfamiliar with 1 Corinthians 12, read through it. It's a beautiful passage on the body. And how God has made us all special. And we need one another. Let me say that again. We need one another. This is such a radical thing in our culture. Because our culture says, it's all about you and you just have everything you need and you don't need anybody else. It's all about you. And God says, no, that we are interdependent and we need one another. And there's no one part of the body that can just function on its own well. Correct? Oh, look, there's a nose. You know, it's like, oh, it's kind of freaky. So now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer to those questions is all no. And you can see again just kind of the list of all these different gifts, the way that He's wired us all up. Do you know what part of the body you are? I think sometimes I feel like I'm the elbow or the big toe. But we're all different parts and we need to identify who we are and what our parts. And then we need to come together and contribute our part and play our part in the body. One thing I love about SIO is as I look out, a huge percentage of you are involved in building the kingdom of God in and through SIO Community Church. There aren't a lot of people around here that just sit on the sidelines. And we're not supposed to sit on the sidelines. We're supposed to get in the game and serve. If you're sitting on the sidelines and you're like, I don't know how to get in the game and serve, I would love for you to talk to me. I'd also love for you, perhaps, to go online, and in your program, in your bulletin, there's a website, and you can go and take a little spiritual gifts test. It's not all-conclusive. It's not absolute. It's just an assessment. It's free. There's no right or wrong answers. But it might help you understand a little bit more about how God has uniquely wired you up. And once you discover that, then you can figure out ways that you can connect and serve. Because we all need each other. Even this morning, it was great. We have people in the back that are running multimedia and visuals, and we have people that run sound, and people that play keyboards and drums and sing, and some people that sing, and some people that can't sing but enjoy singing just the same and make a joyful noise, right? Some people maybe don't like to sing, but you just meditate on the words. I mean, we all have different parts, and I love variety. And if anyone that knows me knows I'm a variety junkie. I think God is too. He just loves to see all the different parts working together in one cohesive way. So we've all been given at least one spiritual gift. And we need you. Every single part is important. And to illustrate that, I want to show you a video. Maybe some of you have seen this. And it just describes how important every single part is. Maybe. Maybe not. That was a cool video. Maybe next time. So, just each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we are a many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Ooh. Did you catch that? Each member belongs to all the others. That means that I belong to you, and you belong to me, and we belong to each other, and we're a body, and we're a family. That's really significant. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. In other words, do what God has called you to do. Romans 12 puts it this way. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members function, do not all have the same function? So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. There it is again. Completely different passage. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Okay, and you can see again. This whole list of different gifts. And this list is different than what he wrote in 1 Corinthians. So there really is no one comprehensive list of spiritual gifts. Do you know what your gifts are? Now, this week I learned about a spiritual gift. I had never actually heard about this spiritual gift. And if we can get this video to work, it sort of describes a spiritual gift that's not on these lists, and maybe it's new to you as well. Let's see if we can get this one to work. Okay. Do we have our sound working there?
My name is Charlie Parker. My spiritual gift is dodgeball. When you ask Michael Jordan how he got to where he is right now, he'd say he practiced.
Hey, Charlie, somebody called for you.
He might say some other things, but the main thing would be practice. And that's what I do. I practice. I practice at home. I practice at work. I practice at school. I practice when people aren't looking and when people are looking.
Hey, Charlie, I have an apple for you. Here, catch.
And that's what makes me unique. The key to being a good dodgeball player is to be agile, like a spider monkey. Ironically, that's our team name. One of my moves is called the Wing Duck and the Conspiracy Theory. God gave some people the gift of compassion, some people the gift of love. He gave me the gift of dodgeball, and I'm going to use that unto him. Dodgeball. Do outstanding deeds. Go everywhere. Be all. Dodgeball.
Hey, listen, Charlie, man. Lots of paper here. Got a stapler?
The worst place to get hit, not the head, but the heart. Some people and girls don't understand the meaning of competition. I'm not sorry.
The spiritual gift of dodgeball. Learn something new every day. But the point of the video, obviously, a bit of humor there. But did you notice his intensity? Like, he found his gift and he wanted to use it all the time. Do you know your gift? Are you as excited about using your spiritual gift as he is about his spiritual gift of dodgeball? Now, don't write me any letters, really. It was a joke. But he found a gift, and our point is to find our gift and to use it. Each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administrating God's grace in various forms. See, spiritual gifts are all about serving the bride, serving the family, serving God's kingdom, the body of Christ. The idea of spiritual gifts is not something that you use for your own benefit. It's something that you give to others. It's a gift that you share and use for other people. Years ago, my friend Paul, he told a story, and he said, when my kids were little, Grandma and Grandpa would come. And they'd come over to the house, and they were so excited to see Grandma and Grandpa. And as soon as they saw Grandma and Grandpa pull in the driveway, they ran out to meet them. And they'd hug them and kiss them, and they were so excited to see Grandma and Grandpa. And inevitably, Grandma and Grandpa would say, "We've got something for you in the trunk." And they were like, "Oh." And so they'd go to the trunk, and they would see what sort of gift was available to them from Grandma and Grandpa. And my friend said that as time went on and years passed and the kids got older and this tradition sort of continued, it got to the point where they would run out, but instead of running out to Grandma and Grandpa, they would run straight to the trunk and say, "What do you got for me? What do you got for me?" Unfortunately, a lot of times, friends, people do this with spiritual gifts. And it's, how can I use God to get some great gifts so I can serve myself or even maybe to bless others? But it's about the gift instead of the giver of the gift. Don't ever mistake the two. We're never to run to the trunk and ask God, "Give me all your gifts." It all starts with pursuing God. It's all about a relationship with God, about a love relationship where God says, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to bless you with this gift." But we must never, ever pursue the gift without pursuing the giver of the gift. Now, another note on that, I've heard people talk about different spiritual gifts, and they say, "Man, I wish I could play the guitar like John can," or, "Boy, I really wish I could visit people in the hospital," or, "You know, I really wish I had a cell phone like someone else had," or, I really wish I could teach like that person," or, "I wish I had compassion like that person." If you have an issue with your gift, take it up with God. Because it's God who makes those decisions. It's God who distributes the gifts. And that sounds maybe a little harsh, but that's the reality. If you're jealous or envious of someone else and the gift that they've received, it's not about them. You need to take it up with God. Because God chooses to distribute gifts however He chooses to distribute gifts. Ephesians 4, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attained to the whole measure of fullness of Christ." Do you see the five gifts here, the five different types of leaders? This is actually a reference to leaders. And at SIO, our elder board has been intentionally designed and constructed in such a way that we have diversity on our board, that we have at least an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and teacher. It's called APAST, as some have said, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. That there's diversity even in our leadership team. That SIO Community Church is not about Kirk. This isn't my church, and I don't walk around, you know, as a benevolent dictator leading it. That I'm a part of a team of elders, a diverse team of elders, not a bunch of yes men, but a group of very diverse elders, and that together we all seek guidance from our senior pastor, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit to lead and make decisions to guide and direct this community, to serve our community and serve our world. Each of us is different, and yet we form one team with the mission to prepare God's people, that's you, for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, so that we can be mature, so we can be all that God wants us to be. Well, just kind of in review, spiritual gifts, they're given by God. They benefit the church and they glorify God. Every believer gets at least one. Many members, but one body. We see no gift is given to everyone. That all the gifts are needed. That you need to find and develop your gift. And to use your gift is so, so important. And finally, that we need you. We need your gift. We need you serving. And together, as members of one another, God can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or dream or imagine, not because of us, but because of the Spirit of God flowing through us. So, that brings me to Q&A. Anyone have any questions about this subject of spiritual gifts? There is no stupid question. Yes, sir.
The gift of tongues.
Great question. I was hoping someone would ask that question. Because I was actually raised in a church that believed that if you did not speak in tongues, you were not filled with the Spirit. In fact, we got kicked out of our denomination because our pastor spoke in tongues, but didn't believe that was the only evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Based on what we looked at this morning, what did we see as evidence of being filled with the Spirit? Submission to the Lordship of Christ. Obedience to Christ, and that there's a diversity of gifts. So, the simple answer is, I see that there is no one gift that everyone is supposed to have. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, if you want to pursue a gift, pursue prophecy, and if you want to pursue one thing, pursue love. But I've honestly never been able to understand any biblical basis for someone saying that you must speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit. So it is one of the gifts. I believe it's a gift that is alive and well. Some people say that, believe that God, like the Holy Spirit's dead for some reason. The gift of tongues does still occur. And it seems to me that there are two different types of gifts of tongues, or speaking in tongues. There's the Acts 2 speaking in tongues where they spoke in known languages, where someone maybe that's never spoken German all of a sudden starts speaking German, and there's someone nearby that hears the gospel. This happened to my aunt, where years ago she was speaking, apparently, if I recall the story, she spoke perfect Chinese in the middle of a church service. Never learned Chinese. And there was a woman behind her that spoke Chinese, and like she led her to Christ or something, and unknowingly what was even going on. I just go, that's a God thing. That's the Spirit of God. There's another type of tongue that's often known as a heavenly language. And it's a not a known language, and it requires interpretation. I'll never forget, Heather and I were in Nashville one time, and right in the middle, we were just visiting a church, and right in the middle of the service, some guy stood up, and he just started, ah! And Heather had never had this experience before, and she kind of turned to me, and she's like, what just happened? And so this was like right in the middle of the sermon, total interruption. And so the pastor stopped and he's like, okay, we've heard a tongue and to validate it, we need an interpretation. So we're going to just wait for an interpretation. And so there was this like 10 seconds of silence that felt like 10 hours. And everyone's just like, wondering, is this guy going to like get off the hook? Is someone going to speak? And then finally, someone started speaking. And he said, I'm the Lord your God, and I love you. You're my people, and I'm pleased with you. Amen. And the pastor said, okay, point number two in my sermon. And he just kind of went back to his drawing board and his sermon. But it was like, it was a really cool experience. It was a very edifying experience. Now, can I prove that it was right? Can I prove that the first guy was right or the second guy was right? No. But did it seem to have a biblical basis? Was there encouragement? Did it, you know, was it uplifting and serve a purpose? Absolutely. And so I was like, that was really cool. And that seemed to be the biblical basis of tongues. Maybe some of you have been in churches where randomly just people started speaking all over the place and it's just mass chaos. And it's a little freaky to tell you the truth. And according to 1 Corinthians 14 and even somewhat in 12, Paul gives instructions on how it should be done and that there should be orderly and with an interpretation and such. And so I've been blessed to have seen that in action in some really positive ways and unfortunately in some negative ways as well. Yep. So great question. Any other questions? Yeah. I think that's a great question. For those of you that didn't hear, if you want a gift, can you pray for it? And I would say that our Father wants to know your heart. As a dad, I can just tell you, as a dad, I want to know what's going on in my kids' lives. The good, the bad, and the ugly, I want honesty and openness. And the more real and honest and open my kids can be, the better. Even if it's bad news. Even if it's, you know, Dad, you really, that outfit just doesn't go or what. Like, I mean, I want to know that. If it's spoken in love, of course. And I think our Heavenly Father, He wants to know the desires of our heart. And this is a really important point. And some of you have been taught that you can only say certain things to God. That there's certain things, oh, you don't share that with God. That's just a bad thing. And I want to say, our Heavenly Father wants to know everything in your life. There's nothing that you can't share with God. I mean, He knows it all anyhow. But He wants to know your heart. Sometimes I know what my kids want, but I still like to hear them ask. And so in the same way, Tom, I think, yes, I think it's appropriate to go to God and say, God, I really wish that I could sing. Or there's someone that's sick and I'm going to pray for them. And I've never prayed for someone ever no one's ever been healed by me praying for them. But it would be a great, great way to demonstrate your power if as I pray for this person, they would be miraculously healed and that you would get the benefit and the glory, not me, because clearly I don't have that ability. I think absolutely you can pray to God and ask Him anything, including ask Him for gifts. Does that mean He's going to give them to you? Obviously not necessarily. But by all means. And as you find gifts that you have, develop them. Bill Hybels at Willow Creek Community Church has inspired me so much simply by these passages that we've looked at. And there's one line and it says, if you have the gift of leadership, govern diligently. If you have the gift of leadership, lead. And he has made it literally a crusade of his to train and equip leaders and encourage leaders to lead and encourage leaders to develop their leadership and to read books and study and grow. And those of you that have gifts of music, practice and develop that. Those of you that have gifts of mercy and compassion, by all means, put them into action and learn and find mentors and walk alongside other people. There's so many people in this room, I don't have time to tell you, have taught me things just even in the 5 months that we've been here. And I'm trying to learn and grow. Even if I don't have a particular gift, I mean, we can all develop and learn and grow. So excellent question. What I'd like to do, if you have other questions, please feel free to email me this week. I would love to do my best to answer them. I am not the answer guy. The Bible and Jesus is the answer guy. So anything that I say, always, always, always put it through the filter of Scripture. Because the Scripture is the authority around here, not me. Just to make that really, really clear. But as the band comes up, we're going to just close with a song that we did last Sunday. And I think it's an appropriate way for us to close, just to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And that the Holy Spirit would reveal Himself, that maybe some of you would discover gifts, and that you would to use those gifts. If I can be a resource to you, I would love to talk with you. Maybe you feel like, I feel like I have this gift, but I'm not really sure what to do with it, or how to develop it, or whatnot. If it's dodgeball, well, I mean, whatever it is. We can talk about that and develop that. And again, I love emails. I love conversations. But more than anything, I just long for our community just to be so filled with the Spirit that as we leave this place, our world would be different. And people would say, wow, there's something so positive and attractive and different about you. And we could point to Jesus. We could point to the Holy Spirit. We could point to God being alive in our lives. So would you please stand as we just close with this song?